Hi, this is John Bartlett, co-host of the Shofar Ministries Hour, and I want to tell you about Mullet Masonry. Working with either brick, block, or stone, their work is impeccable, earning them a great reputation. They service residential, like chimneys and restorations, as well as the bigger commercial-type jobs. They're located in Geauga County, but will service any of the surrounding areas. They're experienced, they do great work, they're affordable, and they're very nice as well. Need a free estimate? Call Chad Mullet at 216-570-0177. That's 570-0177. Give them a try next time you need any facet of masonry work. After all, Mullet Masonry helps to keep Shofar Ministries on the air. So be sure to tell Chad you heard about him right here on WHKW Christian Radio. All of you who are listening live as well as on the World Wide Web at WHKWradio.com, my name is John Bartlett, your co-host today with our Bible teacher, Sheila Crawford, whose favorite thing to do is to share with you biblical gold nuggets, particularly about the end times. And I hope you're taking notes, but hey, you can always re-listen to the show later in the week. Just go to shofarministries.net. So, as we do every week, let's ask God for his blessing on the program, and to all the listeners who have set aside their current cares of this life to receive more of Jesus through his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your lovely Shabbat today, and we thank you for the ministry that you've given us to share God's words and truth with your body, with those that believe in you. Lord, I just want to lift up all those who believe in you. We want to lift up all those that work hard, especially in the area of nursing homes. These folks have some trials, and we know that they need your help in order to help the patients that they have. Lord, we just want to lift up all the people in nursing homes, and we just ask you that they get treated well by those who take care of them. And we ask that in the name of Yeshua, our Savior. Amen.
Thank you, John. Shabbat shalom to you, and Baruch Hashem Adonai, blessed be the name of the Lord. I want to start off by reminding people that this is a listener-supported broadcast, and we are looking for still 8 more people to pledge $100 a month. That's only $3 a day, actually, you know?
Oh.
A little more than a pop, maybe. But it's to help us stay on the air, and of course we are thankful for any and all donations.
Yes, but 8 more pledges of $100 per month would finish taking care of it. It would do it.
That's right. So, if you are growing in the Word by listening to this show, then please prayerfully consider supporting us.
Absolutely. And what are we teaching on today, Sheila?
Well, today we're going to get right into it. It's an important topic, and it's to help with witnessing to the lost.
Oh, okay. Like, what do you say when you're telling someone about Jesus and they don't believe the Bible? You're telling them Jesus says this in the Bible and they go, what's, you know, the Bible?
I know.
Who believes that? What do you say to people like that?
At that point, you've hit a wall. You really have.
Yeah.
And it's happening more and more today.
Or they say the Bible's not true. They just believe that, you know.
I know. So how can you tell them what the Bible says when they say, well, I don't believe that anyway?
So where do you go?
Yeah. So this is what we're going to talk about today. You can begin by saying, yeah, I wasn't always sure either. And, you know, if we're honest with ourselves, we weren't always sure.
That's right.
You know, in fact, I was raised Catholic. I was actually told that parts of the Bible is true, but not all. And that didn't sit right with me because I know that God wouldn't give us a book that he didn't have his truth in there.
Right, right.
He would give us non-truth. And so I started looking at the evidence. And actually, John, I'd like you to play, you know, someone that maybe isn't saved.
Okay.
And I'm going to just ask you a question, and this is what you should ask somebody that's not saved. Always get permission first, okay? You say, well, John, could I just share a few of the things that just comes to my mind that kind of really opened up my eyes? Now, remember, Really, what we're going to show you today is only for those who doubt the Bible's validity. You want to keep it simple, and don't be calling me and telling me, well, you know, you're supposed to give the four spiritual laws and all that. I know there's other ways. Okay, I'm not saying there isn't, and there is. But this is my way if somebody says they don't believe the Bible is truth. And that's really happening a lot today because we're living in the end days, and the enemy is getting stronger. And the enemy's main purpose, of course, is to keep people out of the Word of God because it's the only way they're going
to
grow.
Yeah, to keep people out of the Word and to discredit it.
Absolutely.
With his lies as much as possible.
That's right. That's right. So then I would tell the person, first of all, God made man to have a relationship with him. But it has to be our choice to have that relationship. He does not want robots, or he would have made robots. So instead, he gave each individual a free will, free to choose. We are really here to make the choice of where we want to spend eternity. That's why we're here.
That's our only purpose of being here?
Really? The main one.
Hmm.
Because he didn't want robots. He wanted to give man a choice. And that's why we still have the enemy. Because the enemy is one of those choices. You can either choose that way, or you can choose God's way. So, for a while, and this was before Moses, God would communicate directly to his righteous. And I think of Enoch, I think of Noah, Abraham, and I'm sure there was others. But then at some point, finally, God told Moses to start a book. And this would be for the future generations. And God would tell him what to say. God would inspire him. And when I say God, I mean the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, the triune God. Okay? All three are involved in this. So he inspired Moses and told him what to write. And all the history with predictions for the Jewish people are in the Bible. It is absolutely amazing. All the way to today with them coming back home to the land. It's all been written out beforehand. Right there is enough to make you think, well, maybe the Bible's something I should look at least.
Well, yes.
And you know what? I don't expect people to just believe me right away.
Mm-hmm.
All that we want to do when we tell somebody what we're going to talk about today is that it deserves checking into. Check out the evidence. Find out for yourself. Is the Bible truth? Is it from God? And the evidence is there.
Actually, you should approach it as a study.
Sure.
As a search.
Yeah.
You know, if it's, you know, somebody told me a long time ago, if there was one chance in a million, say, that there really was a hell and that you could really go there if you didn't accept God's plan of salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And if there was just one chance in a million, given how awful that would be to be separated from God, wouldn't you do everything you could to stay out of it? You know,
I think so. Definitely, just, I think so. So he inspired Moses, and then later he would do it with others. And we have in the Gospel of John now, later, that Scripture actually says that Jesus is the Word. Okay, so he's actually the Word. So when you're reading the Bible, since it was inspired by God and he is God, therefore, the more you read, the more of Jesus is put into you.
Right.
And that makes your choices a lot easier.
Exactly.
Because you have the mind of Christ. The Scriptures, to me, which I found out, are absolutely supernatural. They really are. And so, again, the more the Word you take into your spirit, the more of Jesus you will have. And that's where the relationship gets stronger. It's not just prayer.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, prayer is good, but it's the Word that's going to increase the relationship. And that's really what God wants. He wants a relationship with you, but he doesn't want robots. He wants us to make the choice.
Now you're saying there's something supernatural about the Word?
It is.
Okay.
Absolutely supernatural. As the Word gets into your eye gate, it goes and feeds your spirit, and Jesus grows. That's pretty supernatural to me.
Sounds like it to me, but I'm still thinking about what you said, that God made us just specifically to make a choice. He put us here on earth to make a choice. Mm-hmm. I always thought I was put on earth because my parents went on a date. Do people really look at it that deeply?
No, they don't. They don't. That's why I'm telling them. God allows us to be here so that we can choose where we want to spend eternity. He does not send anybody to hell. We decide if we want to go there.
Yes.
Simple.
And it behooves us to, if we're deciding, to make sure that we have all the facts so that we can make an informed decision.
Absolutely. So I think there's about three major ways to prove that the Bible could only be directly from God through inspiration to man.
Okay, there's three ways.
About
okay.
three. And there's maybe more. This is what I kind of have gathered together through my years.
Okay.
The first thing, of course, is my favorite, and that's prophecy. And we're not going to talk about that today because we usually talk about that on most of the shows. I want to hit something different. But prophecy, of course, are things written in the Word many years before they happen, hundreds, sometimes even thousands.
Right.
Mm-hmm. There's 300 prophecies I know just about the first coming of Jesus Christ. And by the way, if you want a list of those, they are on the Internet. Just type in prophecies pertaining to Jesus' first coming and how they were fulfilled. Oh, my gosh. They're all in there.
And they're all in there.
You can find them.
So
that's one way.
Hey, there you go.
And another way is now archaeological proofs. Oh, my gosh. This is evidence of people and places written about in the Word that's scholars have now discovered literally hundreds of objects, inscriptions, and sites that confirm the accuracy of biblical statements in even unimportant areas. Things that were written in the Word that people would say, oh, I've never heard of that place. And then all of a sudden they'll find a inscription on a piece of pottery says so.
And actually taught in schools that this place could not have existed because there's no evidence books, textbooks, and just regular writing. Oh, we don't know that Jericho had a big walled city because there was.
I know.
There's no evidence. But who's looking for it? Who are these archaeologists anyway? I thought, didn't archaeology go out of date back in Indiana Jones's time? I mean, are they still digging over in Israel now?
Absolutely.
Are
Absolutely.
They?
Yes. In fact, you can go on an archaeological dig if you want to.
So they must think it's pretty important. Then.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, okay.
Especially over there. Right. So there's a. I'll just give you an example of not too long ago archaeological proof. In northern Israel, they found a fragment of stone inscription that clearly refers to the house of David and identifies David as the king of Israel.
Now, that's cool.
That is cool.
Yes.
Because that's like 1,000 years before even Jesus came.
Yes.
They also found a stone inscription from Egypt confirms that Israel was established as a nation in Canaan centuries before the reign of King David, just like the Bible said.
So that evidence was actually found in Egypt.
Mm-hmm. Right. And there's so much. There's so many more. And I'm sure people out there listening today can think of a few more, probably off the top of their head. But the part that I want to really talk about today, which is really remarkable to me, is the science and medical confirmation that the Bible is true. And remember, I just want to reiterate by saying, if you could just take two or three of the things that we say, and keep them inside of you so that when you need them, you can refer to them.
Okay, it doesn't have to be, you don't have to know everything.
No.
You don't have to be an archaeologist.
No. Nope.
You don't even have to be a prophecy student. But if you can just remember two or three of these things.
Exactly.
That will.
Your favorites.
Your favorites.
Yeah.
That you can tell someone who doesn't believe the validity of the Bible or.
Right. At least enough to get them to want to research a little.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard because we live in a lazy society these days.
Yeah, well, I know.
Nobody wants to
true.
Do the homework, you know. But at least if you show some credibility by knowing some of these things, I think that at least help where they might listen to you to what the Bible says.
I like that approach because no one likes to be hammered on with what you believe.
Yeah.
They don't. But, you know, if you give them something, well, they may it might not appear that they're even agreeing with you or they believe what you said. But, you know, I think nine times out of ten, they'll go home. They'll check it out.
I hope
you
so.
Know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. So the science and medical confirmation are actually things written before in the Bible that a particular knowledge came evident later.
Oh, okay.
There are actually thousands of scientific statements in the Bible and never even one of them has been disproved.
Hmm.
That's pretty amazing.
No, not one?
No, not that I know of. I don't think so. All right, but let's give an example now.
Okay.
Here we go. Way back in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, Moses wrote, because God inspired him, that God formed man from the dust of the earth. Wow. Did you know you're made out of dirt?
Well, I...
you're dirt.
I've been told that in many ways by many different people.
No, seriously. We now know, since NASA did an analysis of the human body, that the same elements that are in the dirt of the ground match the elements in man, in us, in you and me.
Wow.
It's awesome. But it was in the Bible way back then. What is that?
Well, you know, that always sounds...
5,000 years ago.
It just sounds so poetic when you say, God formed man from the dust of the earth. You're almost, you know, if you read the Bible but you don't believe that, you just read that and it kind of goes by, you think, oh, how poetic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's actually very literal,
very
isn't
literal.
It?
And that's another thing. Always take the Bible as literally as you possibly can.
Yes.
Okay, here's another one. Now, we did not always know that there's these huge currents that run like deep rivers far beneath the surface of the oceans. And in fact, they actually run opposite one above the other. And this, of course, provides warmth to the north of the earth and is essential to refreshing the otherwise stagnant waters constituting an essential part of the life system of our planet.
So it's almost like a circulation of the sea, the blood of the sea is circulating so that it can be healthy.
I would have never known that. Scientists didn't find that out, and it hasn't been that long that they found that out.
Well,
last century, not 100.
Well, I think in our lifetimes, because the ability to go down beneath the surface for any length of time, more than 500 or 600 feet, you know, down to a mile, that capability wasn't always there. I think in our lifetimes it was when they invented modern submarines. Where you can check out stuff like that.
Well, the main thing is, I know that King David didn't know about it.
Well,
unless God told him.
You know, how would he know? Because I've read the story of King David in Samuel's and in Kings, and he never goes anywhere near water.
No.
So how would he know?
He might have went near the Mediterranean, I'm not sure, but to go deep water diving, I don't think so.
No, he didn't do that.
So King David, and again, this is about 1000 B.C., in Psalm 8, verse 8, refers to how the fish of the sea pass through the paths of the sea.
Wow.
Calling these current paths of the sea, and that makes perfect sense. But how could he have known that it was God? Let's talk about Job, one of the oldest books in the Bible. In chapter 38:16, he speaks of the deep springs of water at the bottom of the sea. Now, I know he wasn't at the bottom of the sea.
He was. Oh, no, that was Jonah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But only in the last 30 years, really, maybe 50 years now, have we discovered numerous huge springs of fresh water that actually pours out of the floor of the ocean.
Wow.
And he knew it and he wrote about it.
The deep springs of water at the bottom of the sea. And that's mentioned in Job chapter 38, verse 16. Yeah. Now, that'd be one I could remember.
Yeah, that would be pretty easy, you know? And then there's another one in verse 30. Job says, the waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen. Now, he lived in a desert, John, but this is describing the Arctic ice caps.
Now, there you go.
So how could a man living in Saudi Arabia in ancient times know that but for God? Yes?
I'm starting to get a little bit convinced.
I say, and I'm just starting here.
Or else I would check it out. I would check that out.
Sure.
Yes.
And that's all I want you to do. Okay, and remember Columbus? Everybody remembers Christopher Columbus.
Well, they thought he was going to sail off the end of the earth, but he didn't.
They thought he was crazy.
He was a Bible believer. And he believed that from verses in the Bible that the earth was in a sphere.
Why
or
do you
circle.
Think he was a Bible believer, John?
I think he was. I think he was a convert to Christianity. He may have been. I don't know if that's true, but they say he may have been from a Jewish family.
I think it is true.
I don't know about that part.
I read a book that I think it is true because if he was originally Jewish, okay, before accepting Christ as a Catholic,
yes,
then he would have known that the Bible said, in Isaiah 40:22, that the earth is a circle.
Yes. So there you go. Now,
back in Isaiah time.
Way back in Isaiah, the earth is a circle. And how often do you hear people tell you, especially college-age people, thinking, you know, well, you Christians believe the earth is flat because in the Gospels where Jesus is tempted in the wilderness and Satan takes him up to the top, you know, it's totally a different thing we're talking about here.
Actually, everybody thought the world was flat for a while.
Well, that was during the Dark Ages, though, wasn't it?
Doesn't matter. The Bible said it in Isaiah 40. It wasn't.
And
the Bible knew it.
The Bible knew it, and that was more than 1,000 years ago.
That's right.
More than two, actually.
Okay, so there's another thing it'd be pretty easy to remember.
Oh, yes.
You know, if you're talking to somebody. And I love this in 1621, and this is, I just think this is so fun. In Revelation 1621, now we're talking New Testament here, but John the Revelator says that part of the earth's judgment during the tribulation will be these 100-pound balls of hail falling from the sky. Well, that's going to hurt. But back to Job again.
Yes.
Job in 38:22 says, and this is again thousands of years before Revelation was ever written, God actually asked Job if he has ever seen the treasury of hail that he has reserved for the time of trouble, which is an idiom for the tribulation. I just like that.
He has a treasure of that.
Yeah.
Treasure of hail. Now, aren't comets made out of ice? Isn't that what they say?
I think so.
Ooh, now that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. It is interesting since we're starting to get hit with some, or at least they think so.
How are we going to remember this, though? We were supposed to keep it simple.
Well, that was a little extra there.
Okay.
Okay. Anyway, I have some more truths that deal with the medical side in God's Word that I think you're going to like.
Okay.
And it's
medical
been in
side.
The Bible all along.
Mm-hmm.
And just recently discovered ourselves, actually, to be the most beneficial. And let me ask you this. How many laws are in the Torah for the Israelites?
My birthday.
Which is?
613.
Okay.
I won't tell you what year, though.
Okay.
613.
We don't want people to know you're 80.
613.
Did you know that approximately 213 of them are medical?
Wow.
And I want to mention.
That's a third.
Mm-hmm. Before we get into this, I want to mention that God does function within the normal limits of natural law. You need to always keep that in mind as we read these medical things, okay? Unless it's a miracle, of course.
So, okay.
Okay, well, I'm just going to do one, and then we're going to go for a quick break, and then we'll come back. But you see, Moses and the Israelites really came out of a very unclean Egypt. They needed definite guidance to keep healthy. And remember, God does some pretty awful and certainly unsanitary customs. He understands that there were some pretty awful and unsanitary customs from Egypt, and they were practiced in Egypt. And the reason the men and boys even shaved their heads in Egypt was because of lice. Did you ever see those movies where most of them are shaven?
Yes.
It was because of lice.
Hmm.
Yeah. Toilets were clay pots filled with sand. But God told the Israelites to go out a ways and take a small implement like a shovel and bury all their excrements. I don't like that word anyway. But
so he was saying go out and dig a hole.
He was showing them how to be sanitary.
And I remember reading that, and he said, because I walk through your camp at night.
Amen.
Amen.
But archaeologists have found medical scrolls from the area around Egypt dating back to 1500 B.C. That included 700 how-to cures using herbs, and that's good, but approximately 300 of them contained animal and human dung in their remedies.
And that is
shocking.
That is very shocking. And, you know, it's very believable, too, because I've heard from many archaeological sources that the Egyptians wrote about everything.
Yes, they
did. They were writers.
And we're finding it.
Yes.
Amen. So we're going to continue on that note when we come back.
Oh, we got to go?
Yeah. Can you believe it's going fast, as it always does?
Okay. Well, we have phone lines, and they will be open when we come back. And if you have a question, particularly on what we're talking about today, or any end time eschatological question, just call us at 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. That's 888-677-9673. Now, we cover a big area on the radio. We would both, Sheila and I, would like to visit you at your church for an evening of Messianic worship and a timely message. So tell your pastor and ask him to give us a call. He can call 440 334-9006. And I'd also like to add that Shofar Ministries is non-denominational, 501c3. All your gifts are tax deductible, and donations are really needed to stay on the air. So, folks, if you like this forum, if you're learning the solid Bible teaching, please send your donations to P.O. Box 513 in Burton, 44021, or give through shofarministries.net and use PayPal. And you can also purchase teaching DVDs, especially on the spring feasts, fall feasts, and that's for only a donation of $15.
That's right. And people, we really do need your help out there. We've only really had two people that will donate $100 a month.
We only need eight more.
We only need eight more, but perhaps you'd even like to sponsor the show by doing an advertisement, and we can certainly take that too. And I just want you to just give me a call if you know yourself or anyone else that would like to do a commercial. The number is 440-834-9006.
And once again, those numbers for your end time question, 216-901-0933 or 888-677-WORD. Stay with us now. You're listening to the Shofar Ministries Hour. We'll be right back after a short break and a very special song by Greg DiPaolo called Tell Me Why You Have Forsaken Me.
Let's talk about one of the sponsors to this program, which helps us a lot, and that, of course, is the Alexandria School for Nannies. Do you love children, John?
Yes, I do. I've got quite a few grandchildren.
Yes, I have seven, and I love little babies. But anyway, I have a friend, and she's a listener of this program, and she's the mother of five and grandmother of three, and she has recently attended the Alexandria School for Nannies, and now she's certified as a newborn care specialist. And she's enjoyed her education so much, she is now enrolled in their accelerated program for nannies. So if you would like to work with children while adding to your family's income, which is really kind of important these days, call Carolyn at 440-781-7531. And of course, if you are in need of that special person to watch your precious children, the number is the same, 440-781-7531. Again, if you love children and would like to find out more about the opportunities that are waiting for you as a professional nanny, one more time, call Carolyn, 781-7531. Okay, so let me ask you, how many times have you ever been asked if you knew a good Christian attorney? Well, now you have an answer. A legal representative for over 35 years, Dennis Kastelek of Chardon, Ohio, has a great reputation for honesty and integrity and is now a sponsor of the Shofar Ministries Hour. So if you still need to get that will, need financial counseling, or any legal matter, give Dennis a call at 440-285-3511. That's 440-285-3511.
This is Ron Trzynski, the Original Mattress Factory, and I would like to say thank you to all our customers. We opened the first Original Mattress location many years ago in Cleveland, Ohio, with an idea to do things differently. With our own factory, we build beds one at a time and focused on providing the best quality products to the consumer. With our own showroom, we establish what we believe to be the right way to sell mattresses and box springs, selling factory direct to eliminate unnecessary costs and provide genuine value. And with our own unique sales approach, we employ knowledgeable, courteous, and friendly sales associates who strive to educate the consumer, not pressure them. We are grateful for your support over the years. That has helped us to grow into 11 factories and over 100 retail locations nationwide. While our size has changed, our mission and our focus remain very much the same, to provide top-quality products and tremendous value. The Original Mattress Factory, 4930 State Road, right at the 480 ramp.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, Ph.D., host of Healthline. Join me live to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Healthline, the world's leader in cell-resonant nutrition technology, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works. This month, our Bone and Joint Complex is on special. It delivers ideal support for healthy bone and joint metabolism. Bone and Joint Complex is energetically unmatched. It tests on to all four biofield polarities and cannot be stress-tapped off. Get the best bone and joint support with Bone and Joint Complex. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447. That's 800-370-3447. Experience nutrition that really works.
Listen to Healthline with Dr. Bob Marshall, weekdays at 4, right here on AM 1220, The Word.
So, it's the new year. Need a makeover? Could you use a new do? Or gals and you guys, is that hair getting a little thin? Well, you need to see Michael at Hot Heads Cool Threads Beauty Salon, located in Orange Village at Brainerd and Miles Road. Tell me everyone doesn't at least need a haircut at some time. Hot Heads and Cool Threads are a full-service salon specializing in hair replacement with an added touch of unique threads. So give them a call at 440-248-1888. That's 248-1888. And tell Michael Sheila says, Shalom.
Because I, who made a covenant.
Well, welcome back to the Shofar Ministries Hour. That's a great song. I wish we could play the whole thing. We probably will someday for you. That's called Tell Me Why You Have Forsaken Me by Greg DiPaolo.
Yes.
And if you'd like to get in contact with Greg DiPaolo, he's a guy that as soon as he got saved and became a Christian, born again, he started writing some really wonderful music, didn't he,
Sheila? Yes, and he left the secular band to play for the Lord.
Isn't that great? Because God will put a new song in your heart.
That's
definitely
right.
Will do that.
Amen. Good singer.
Good singer. Now, let's see, where were we before we left off? We were talking about medical things in the Bible that they couldn't possibly have known back then, right?
No, absolutely
right?
Not.
Procedures and things like that, and that we were talking about how we want people that don't believe the Bible to believe the Bible, or at least get them thinking that it might be true.
Exactly. So they'll investigate the evidence.
Right.
Okay. And we left off with the fact that the Israelites, when they were in Egypt, they had these awful, awful cleansing things. I mean, they didn't even clean anything, actually, but they even thought that to have a cure, not only were you to use some herbs, which is a good thing, but it would contain animal dung.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's shocking because E. coli is a major germ found in many infections.
Well, they would have had to have a real high mortality rate then.
Absolutely. In fact, it was really only 30 or 40 years.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And I can understand why. But again, this is in Egypt. But God told the Israelites in their Torah.
Now, the Torah is the first five books of the Bible, which is penned by Moses, but totally inspired by God and God alone.
Totally.
Mm-hmm.
But he said that if they turned from their sins and followed his commandments, that none of the terrible diseases of Egypt would affect them. So God gave them very specific instructions with sanitation procedures. And, you know, this was a shock to me when I was doing my research to confirm this stuff. I didn't even realize that it's just been recently that we ourselves did not discover actual germs until maybe 120 years ago. Really, we did not know that invisible and deadly microscopic germs could exist and even travel through the air, as well as be transferred on eating and cooking utensils and certainly medical implements.
Wow.
And this is going to shock you, but it's not until the 20th century that the same... It was until the 20th century that the same doctor would perform an autopsy in one room and then would proceed to the next room to deliver a baby and not even wash his hands. This is true because they just didn't realize that, microscopic germs were there. But God, in his word, 3,500 years ago, in Leviticus, he told Moses to write that all metal pots and utensils be scoured and rinsed under running water while discarding all cracked pottery. Okay, because now we know that microscopic germs can embed in the cracks. That would be very harmful if it got into our food.
Wow. And that, you know, didn't that same rule apply to any of the spoils they would get in from their enemies?
Mm-hmm. It did.
Yep.
It did.
They had to purify it.
He also taught them about quarantine laws that we didn't know about until probably the 1900s, and to avoid the spreading of germs, as in the case of Miriam's leprosy.
Ah, Moses' sister.
That's right.
Yeah.
She had to stay outside the camp for an extra 7 days, even after her sores were gone, to make sure of no contamination to others. Okay, now this was God telling them. This is how they did, and they wouldn't have known if God didn't tell them. It's written in the book.
And this is over 3,000 years ago.
Proof that God had to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And also, when a man would die in their tent, everything must be purified, including all vessels, with the ashes of a red heifer. Now we know that these ashes are a form of lye, L-Y-E, that kills bacteria. And so they used it in the temple to cleanse their sacrificial implements and containers, but they didn't really understand why.
Mm-hmm.
They just did it because they were told to. And in fact, many plagues could have probably been halted in even my grandparents' day if these biblical principles were followed. Who would have ever thought the ashes of a cow would contain the specific antiseptic lye that would kill germs? God did.
That's just amazing. And like you said, our grandparents in their day, they didn't know this stuff. And if they would just looked in the Bible, they might have.
That's right. That's right.
That's amazing.
Okay, we're going to continue with this in a minute. We're going to first take a quick caller.
Oh.
And I think it's our dear Helen.
Helen.
Helen, can you make it fast?
Good afternoon, Sheila, dear, and John, dear. How are you both?
We're good.
Good. I'm so glad to hear. I'd like to make a couple of comments, please. The first thing I would like to do, I feel the need to do this, is to thank you, Sheila, and you, John. I received my wonderful CD of John singing about the sparrow. Just love it.
You're
welcome.
I must have
played it about 5 times in a row when I got it. I was so excited.
Great.
I love it, Mr. Cash.
Okay, thank you.
Well, thank you for
being. I want to thank you very much.
Yes.
And also, John, do you know the song, Because He Lives? If you do, I sure wish you would sing that song and put that on the CD. Boy, would I love to have that.
We'll consider it, Helen.
I'm writing it down right now.
I made a couple quickies about
that. No, you can only have one, Helen. One.
The fact that wasn't it the Good Samaritan that poured wine onto the wound of the poor soul that was, you know, beat up and so forth? Wasn't it wine that he put on his open wounds? And also, didn't Jesus or somebody say that wine is good for the stomach, but of course never too much?
Of course.
And hyssop, that was wonderful. I think it's for
a type of disinfectant, maybe?
For you.
Mm-hmm.
Inflammation, that's the word I wanted. But I never, and I know that human waste is good for fertilizing the ground, for growing foods and things. But,
yeah.
But not to take
us
by.
Maybe you could tell us examples about human waste. That one is news to me. With that, I'm going to let you go.
Okay.
And I will listen on the air. Thank you once again for everything. Both of you and all listeners have a very blessed rest of the day and night. Bye-bye.
Okay. Thank you, Helen.
You're welcome. Bye, dears.
Bye-bye. God bless you.
Okay. Good old Helen.
From heaven.
All right, let's consider.
We could hear from heaven, too.
Now, here's a good one. Let's consider the law of circumcision.
Okay.
God told Moses to circumcise all baby boys. Now, we know this is important because it's a sanitary thing. Now, they never did this anywhere else, but God told Moses to.
Okay.
Moses would not have known this hadn't God told him. But there's even more to it than that. It should be done on the day that the child is 8 days old. Now, first of all, we know, besides circumcision being sanitary, that it's also the biggest spread of AIDS in some countries when someone's not circumcised.
Really?
Yeah.
Why the eighth day, though, Sheila?
That's what I was going to get at. well, it so happens that on the eighth day, the blood clotting is at its highest peak in newborns.
Oh, okay.
It's got the babies have higher levels of vitamin K and prothrombin, and it rises to its peak on the eighth day.
Huh.
Thus, of course, diminishing the chance of infection or excessive bleeding. And then it actually decreases continually to a stabilized point. Moses could not have known that if God didn't tell him. So who wrote the Bible? Mere man?
I don't think so. Now, today, they have discovered that an injection of vitamin K will allow them to perform a circumcision in the hospital the second day they're born, I guess.
Right.
But they have to have that vitamin K unnaturally put into their systems in order for them to do that.
That's right. And it was written in the Bible thousands of years ago. And again, this is one of those things that you could try to remember so that when someone says, well, I don't believe the Bible is true, give them one of these highlights. I mean, that is really an amazing thing.
Yes, it is. And, you know, speaking of blood, in Leviticus 17:11, doesn't God say that the life is in the blood as well?
Absolutely. And only 130 years ago did we find out the importance of that statement. John, do you know that your heart pumps 1.5 million gallons of blood every year? 40 million pumps in a lifetime to feed 6 trillion cells along with 75,000 miles of veins, blood vessels, capillaries, and arteries.
Wow. Our life really is in the blood, isn't it?
That's right.
Oh, now could all this happen by chance, Sheila? Are we just?
I don't think so.
You don't think
I
this
really
is just,
don't think it
think
would just happen like
you don't
that.
Think Moses was riding and lucked out and he thought, well, we'll make the circumcisions on the eighth day? And
no,
I don't think so. There's too many, huh?
That's right. And David says in Psalm 139 that we are wondrously made. And now with the discovery of DNA, it proves just that. And by the way, this DNA thing is one of the signs of his return and the explosion of knowledge that Daniel 12:4 says will be in the last days.
Now, we're far away from pretty much from the time they discovered DNA and RNA. And we're how many years past that? 25, 30 years past that discovery. But now they're discovering things about what they discovered that are just so totally amazing.
Yeah, just the tiniest of a cell in your body denotes everything about you. And why many scientists are now having to reject evolution. Hello.
Yes.
Which, by the way, you know, even Darwin, I understand, before his death admitted was only a theory and had many missing links.
Mm-hmm. Well, how can a, you know, say you're witnessing to somebody and they say, somebody, they could ask you, like, how can a book, like, written 2,000, 4,000 years ago or whatever, how can that benefit us today?
Oh, that's a really good question, and that's exactly what people think. They think, oh, I can't read the Bible. It was written for people a long time ago.
Well, it was.
But
wasn't
here
it?
Comes the supernatural thing.
Yeah.
The more you study God's word, Jesus is growing inside of you. When he grows and keeps growing and keeps growing, you eventually get the mind of Christ. That gives you the discernment and the wisdom to know how to handle everyday problems.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the scriptures, the Bible, is actually a supernatural.
It's absolutely
supernatural writing.
Oh, it's so supernatural. It's just reading it and understanding will make you smart.
I believe that.
It talks about it. It talks about how we get wisdom from the Word. She is wisdom, it says
in
Psalms.
And
there's so much more evidence, by the way, that the Bible was written by God. Volumes actually are written to support the fact that there is a divine God who created us and gave us a manual for life.
Yes, and he called it the Bible because it stands for basic instructions before leaving Earth.
Amen.
Not really, but it is really sad how many don't even read the Bible, and they're willing to trade off or sacrifice eternal life on the chance that the Bible is not the Word of God.
Even if
there was one chance in a million that it really was, given the things that it says, wouldn't you do everything to at least prove it to yourself and find out beyond a shadow of a doubt?
That's right. And we need to convey that.
Yes, and eternity is a long time.
Because God does not expect you to come to him on blind faith. He really doesn't. There is plenty of evidence. And the fact, the only religion, actually, that has proof galore, that we have a risen Savior.
Yes, we do.
Praise the Lord.
That's written about, and who can deny the existence of our Savior, who was written about by his contemporary historians, and we have archaeologists that dig up old stuff and study ancient documents, know that Jesus, and everybody knows Jesus existed. Not all believe he was the Son of God, but everyone knows he definitely was there.
Yeah, they can't deny that.
They can't deny that, so.
Yeah. Right. Oh, my gosh. Well, we didn't even really get to the prophecy part. And again, the major lie being told today about the Bible is that it was just written by man. So not inspired. Or they'll say some of it is and some of it isn't.
Yes.
So somebody has to choose what it is. Well, that's just ridiculous, because that would give man the power to decide what is true and what isn't. And God wouldn't do that. He just wouldn't do that.
No, I don't think it is.
But anyway, there's plenty of evidence. I encourage you to remember at least two or three of these facts.
Remember, Adam was created from the dust of the earth.
Yes, just remember those
simple
things.
And NASA has discovered that we have the same elements in our body that make up the dust of the earth.
That's right.
That's a good one right there.
And then remember the circumcision. I think that's a real good
one.
That is
a good one. Just be careful who you're talking to.
Yeah.
When you're saying this.
And then, of course, there's Job about the currents in the ocean.
Psalm 8:8 with the pathways in the sea.
If you could just remember that.
Yes.
And then tell people, say, you know what, there's a lot more, but I can't remember everything off the top of my head. But What's it out? Get them thinking. Bible study.
You're not going to convince somebody in one sitting that the Bible's true if they don't believe it's true.
That's
but
right.
If you could give them one or maybe two of these little things, it will get them thinking.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
And then we didn't even get to prophecy. Once you start telling them predictions that were said about even just what happened to Israel,
yes.
You know, that they would come into land, leave the land, back to land, leave the land.
And the good thing about Bible prophecies is they are fulfilled to the day and to the hour, to the minute, and they never are wrong.
That's right. Amen to that.
Amen to that.
Well, I think we're going to have to wrap it up, John.
Okay. If you're listening today and you've never asked Jesus personally to come into your heart and life, just repent for your sins and then do it right now before
yes.
it's too late. Study the Scripture while you still can. Turn to your Messiah, and he will give you the light of understanding. And let us know if you do make a commitment to the Lord.
Yeah, we want to help you.
Yeah, we'd like to help you get started out. Or if there's anyone out there that has a question for Sheila, or you'd like her to speak at your church or home group, just email her at sheila@shofarministries.net. Sheila spelled S-H-E-I-L-A @shofarministries.net. And a great study for beginners. Just want to remind you on DVD, Hebraic Roots. Parts 1, 2, and 3. And that's available on the webpage, shofarministries.net. Or just give Sheila a call. Her number is 440-834-9006. And all donations, I would like to remind you, are very important, and they're vital to this Hebraic Roots ministry. Please consider being a partner in this endeavor. Use PayPal or send your gift to Shofar Ministries, Box 513, Burton, 44021. Now we'd like to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. Yevrechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha, Ya'er Adonai panav elecha v'chunecha, Yisa Adonai panav elecha v'yasem lecha shalom.
Oh, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu shalom, Jerusalem.
Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, those who love her. Jerusalem shall prosper.
And that's not a maybe, that's a fact.
That's a fact.
Psalm 122, verse 6. Till next time. Shalom.
Shalom.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the right-hand side of the screen, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, sheila@shofarministries.net. That's sheila@shofarministries.net. Please join us next Saturday at 1 p.m. for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.
Hey, radio listeners, have you tried the Arbonne products yet? Arbonne offers premium quality beauty, health, and wellness products with targeted results. They employ consumer and clinical testing to reinforce their research and ensure their proprietary formulas deliver unparalleled performance. Nicole Marus is a Cleveland representative of these all-natural and non-toxic products who will give you a free consultation on proper maintenance of your particular skin type, along with free samples for you to try. Nothing to lose and a lot to gain. So be sure to give Nicole a call at 440-840-2176. You might also ask her how you can earn some extra money as well. Once again, that's 440-840-2176. And tell Nicole you heard about her on WHKWRadio.com.